live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, I expressed to them I was mad. I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. The most entertaining 60 minutes of your day is underway. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live on the campus of Michigan State University inside of Studio West on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM, or however you may be listening right now, whether it be via podcast on WKAR.org. Maybe you're watching the live stream over again at Facebook.com/WKAR News. We welcome you all to the fun. A lot to get to on today's Current Sports. Our guest for today's show will be former Current Sports production assistant and dynamite Michigan State women's basketball forward, who will now be taking her talents to the WNBA. Taya Reimer will join us from the West Coast around 1:30 p.m. But before we bring Taya to the show, we will talk about an interesting occurrence between Charles Barkley and Michigan State former forward great Draymond Green. Yeah, you don't want to miss it. It's pretty entertaining, to say the least. And it's been really the talk of the town, other than, of course, analyzing and breaking down what happened in last night's NBA playoffs. But just some more drama as it pertains to both Draymond Green and Charles Barkley. We'll get to that discussion and bring that story to you all. Also, it looks as though the Detroit Pistons do want Stan Van Gundy back. However, with some modifications and some changes. We'll bring that story to you, and you'll get our reaction from that story. And also, as promised, we kind of, you know, introduced this story to you all on yesterday's Current Sports, but the story of Darius Bazley, who is a now former high school basketball star who is going to take an alternate route when it comes to making his NBA dreams come true. And if proven successful, you may see a lot of high school players decide to take the same route. Who knows? We'll bring that story to you. I thought that Darius Bazley, he did a great job with articulating himself with a Players Tribune piece that was compelling on many different levels. We'll bring that to you. All of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the fun. If you want to weigh in on anything, you can pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also, again, join us via social media. Watch the Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet us. Two ways you can do so. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. We start with some news with a spotlight on USA Gymnastics. Bella and Martha Caroli have filed a lawsuit against USA Gymnastics and the U.S. Olympic Committee out in Texas seeking damages for the canceled sale of their gymnastics facilities to USAG, as well as declarations that they are not liable for the actions of longtime team Dr. Larry Nassar. Filed last month in Walker County, Texas, where the Caroli Ranch is located, the lawsuit seeks damages owed under the purchase agreement. Quote, stigma damages, end quote, for the loss of market value of the ranch, as well as punitive damages and attorney fees. The lawsuit was filed by the Carolis and their businesses, BMK Training Facilities and BMK Partners, which own parts of the ranch, and Caroli Training Camps, which leased it back from USAG while the Federation rented the facility as its national team training center. All right, Jim Harbaugh has just let the cat out the bag. Jim Harbaugh, of course, head coach of the University of Michigan college football team. Two former University of Michigan alums agreed to pay for the football team's spring trip to France this year. Speaking to reporters after a visit to the Eiffel Tower, Harbaugh identified video game tycoon Bobby Kotick and Don Graham as the two men responsible for footing the bill. Now, a cost for the six-night, seven-day trip to France has not been provided by Michigan. Quote, I thank Bobby Kotick for having the envision to endow this. Don Graham helped out this year. Two great guys, two great Michigan guys. Now, Kotick, CEO of Activision / Blizzard, the Santa Monica, California-based video game company responsible for the, I'm sure you played this in, Call of Duty, right?
I didn't know
a Michigan alum was even a part of that, that whole Call of Duty franchise. How about that?
I'm going to have to stop playing those games now.
Right, exactly, right? You bleed green, I know. But Kotick is, again, the CEO of Activision / Blizzard. Very cool stuff. Again, same company responsible for Call of Duty. Also bankrolled Michigan's $800,000 trip last year to Italy in April. Now, Graham, who joined Kotick in helping fund this year's trip, is founder and chairman of the Graham Group, which describes itself as an alliance of industrial investment management firms. He has a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering and a master's degree in industrial engineering and business management from U of M. Very cool stuff. Must be nice. Must be nice, Jim Harbaugh. All right. You can dash any hope that Mo Wagner will have a change of heart and return to school for a senior year, no matter how small that hope was, because Wagner, he announced on his Twitter account on Tuesday that he is signed with The Rock Nation Sports, an agency founded by the legendary New York rapper Jay-Z. Rock Nation are agents for athletes like Kevin Durant, Juju Smith-Schuster, Romelo Lacuca, and former Michigan guard Caris LeVert, among many, many athletes. According to Rock Nation Sports website, the sports subdivision will work in the same fashion as the music industry. So now, again, Mo Wagner is a part of Rock Nation. All right, Michigan State softball wraps up a six-game homestand today against arch-rival Michigan at 4 p.m., then heads out for its final regular season series at Maryland. Big Ten Network, the Big Ten Network, will carry today's game in EL. Michigan State and Michigan meet for the 118th time today, and MSU trails the all-time series by a 28-89 margin. The first meeting of the teams this season went to Michigan, which was a 1-0 pitcher's duel. The Wolverines are atop the Big Ten standings with a 40-8 overall record and are 15-2 in conference after taking two of three from second place Indiana last weekend. Carol Hutchins, who is a Michigan State alum, by the way, is in her 34th season as the head coach at Michigan. She graduated from Michigan State back in 1979 and was a member of the Spartans' 1976 National Softball Championship team. The Spartans are coming off a 5-0 start to the homestand with a pair of midweek victories over in-state rivals, then a sweep of Rutgers over the weekend. All right, it has been 3 weeks since the Detroit Pistons' regular season ended. The questions surrounding the role of head coach and president of basketball operations Stan Van Gundy have yet to die down, but we may be soon learning of a resolution. Pistons owner Tom Gorse, he wants Van Gundy, about to enter the final year of his five-year, $35 million contract. Tom Gorse wants Van Gundy to return as head coach. That's according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. But the report says Gorse, quote, would prefer for that scenario to include structural changes to the franchise's front office, end quote. That's according, again, to ESPN. So we'll see if SVG sticks around. And if he does, again, it's being reported right now that possibly some front office changes will happen. Will SVG still hold that title as president of basketball operations, or will he relinquish that to someone else? Well, only time will tell, but it looks like SVG is coming back. All right, the Detroit Tigers defeated the Tampa Bay Rays 2-1 last night. The Tigers took a 1-0 lead in the third on an RBI double by Nick Castellanos, who was thrown out trying for third. The Rays tied the game 1-1 in the top of the fifth. And then they scored when Matt Duffy grounded into a force at first. James McCann scored on an RBI single to right by Leonis Martin in the fifth to give the Tigers a 2-1 lead. Lefty Matt Boyd, he allowed one run on 7 hits over 6 innings. He walked one and struck out 7, all swinging. Up next, the Tigers, well, they just got underway as they will play Tampa Bay Rays, or slated to play the Tampa Bay Rays at 1:10 p.m. We will keep you guys updated on that score throughout the hour. All right, quick update when it comes to the NBA and NHL playoffs. We saw the Cleveland Cavaliers in overtime barely squeak out a win on the road in Toronto. A 113-112 win over the Toronto Raptors for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Very close game, a ridiculously entertaining game as Cleveland now takes a 1-0 series lead in the NBA's Eastern Conference semifinals. Also, when it comes to the Western Conference semifinals, the Golden State Warriors were able to edge the New Orleans Pelicans at home 121-116, the final. And now Golden State has a 2-0 series lead over Anthony Davis and company. Tonight, you can catch the Utah Jazz take on the Houston Rockets as Houston has a 1-0 series lead there. Should be a fun game. We'll see if Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz, the very entertaining Utah Jazz, I might add, we'll see if they can even the score tonight at 8 p.m. Also, in the NHL playoffs, we saw yesterday the Washington Capitals top the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-3, the final there. Washington now leads that series 2-1. And also the Predators fell to the Nashville Predators fell to the Winnipeg Jets 7-4. The final of that one last night. Winnipeg leads that series 2-1. Tonight, you can catch the Lightning and the Bruins. Puck drop scheduled for 7 p.m. That series is tied at 1 game apiece. And then later on tonight, around 10 p.m., you can catch the Golden Knights and the Sharks as the Las Vegas Golden Knights leads that series 2-1. So Golden Knights and Sharks, and prior to that, Lightning and Bruins tonight in the world of the NHL playoffs. And you know what? I'm going to save our last headliner for actually right now, because we're just going to roll right into discussion when it comes to this whole Draymond Green and Charles Barkley beef that's taking place. Very entertaining as well, to say the least. If you want to comment on any of this or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, go to our Facebook page. We have the live stream up and running there. You can comment below that video at facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback.
More a salute. But tonight...
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my peers. What suffers in fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom. Explosion. Overpowering. Over the competition. I'm towering. Wreck is shot. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that'll all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price.
What do you want to call it, Chuckster?
I just want somebody to punch him in the face.
Which one?
American Express Halftime Report. I really do. I just want somebody to punch him in the face.
Why you don't like Ray Mario, Jay, in Atlanta?
I want to punch him in the face.
Why you
don't
like
Ray Mario?
I'm
just telling you, I
want
to punch his ass in the face. I do.
Why? What makes you upset?
You asked me a question. Like,
Jay, I didn't ask you to punch him. You said, dude. I said, why?
Dude.
A lot of guys talk on TV instead of behind a microphone and TV screen. The fact of the matter is, if you feel that strongly about something, you see me in real time. If you feel that strongly about it, then punch me in my face when you see me. If you're not going to punch me in my face when you see me, then shut up. It's no different than somebody sitting behind a computer screen tweeting, I'll knock you out and you never see him in life. Well, he's seen me a bunch of times and he'll see me again this year. Punch me in the face when you see me or not. No one cares what you would have done. You old and it is what it is. So, if you ain't gonna punch me when you see me, then stop talking about it. Period.
Fitting joint, right? LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out, and apparently Charles Barkley wants to knock out Draymond Green. Just wants to just wind up and punch Draymond Green right in the face. You can't help but laugh at this. You know, I don't know why so many people are up in arms about this story. I mean, this is Charles Barkley we're talking about. And you know, I've heard many people debate this since this morning. And there's some people who say that, okay, media members shouldn't be threatening players and saying things like that. But then I counter with, this is Charles Barkley. He's not a member of the media. This is an analyst. He's a former basketball player who is really known for his edge when he really was a dominant player in the 90s. You know, we've seen countless clips of Charles Barkley getting into it with the opposition, throwing some blows here and there. Charles Barkley is not a media member. You know who's a member of the media when it comes to those four entertaining dudes that we see on TNT for the NBA coverage? Ernie Johnson. He's the media member. He's the reporter. He's the host. Shaq, Kenny, and Chuck, they're analysts. Who are former players. They're not out there reporting and working sources and putting out, you know, pieces that you can read and that kind of thing. They're not reporters. They didn't go to school for journalism. You're not saying that you have to go to school, you know, and study journalism to become a journalist, because we all know in 2018, just about everybody feels as though they can just be a journalist, right? But bottom line, Charles Barkley is Charles Barkley, all right? He kind of gets a pass for some of the stuff he says because, again, he is not a media member and he is known for being Charles. And you know what being Charles is. He says whatever's on his mind, and he could care less what you think about it. So I don't know why people are going crazy about this, saying, Charles, you've crossed the line here. Stop it. Charles Barkley has certainly said more controversial stuff than this. And then Draymond Green, I mean, you knew it was coming. Draymond Green is an emotional player. And, you know, he does not bite his tongue. And in many regards, I think that, you know, I see a little bit of well, not a little bit, a lot, actually, of Charles Barkley in Draymond Green. Not just when it comes to style of play. Charles was definitely a more talented player than Draymond Green. All right. But I will say this. When it comes to personality, I see a lot of similarities there. And I think that maybe 15, 16 years down the road, we'll see Draymond Green doing the same thing that we see Charles Barkley do, you know, every other night. It seems like every night, you know, around this time of the year, when it comes to breaking down NBA games and giving his takes on the NBA and the league, I think Draymond Green will be ridiculously entertaining in that realm as well. But I don't know why people are flipping their wig about this. You know, again, Charles Barkley is Charles Barkley, and he is not a member of the media. And quite frankly, when you break this down, I had nothing. Again, you can read the tone here. I had no problem with what Charles Barkley had to say. He was having fun. You had Shaq kind of egging him on as well and laughing about it. Ernie was even laughing about it. This is what these guys do. If you've been living under a rock and have not watched the NBA on TNT telecast, all right? That's what these guys do. They talk trash, they talk junk, and they give their takes. They give their takes. It is entertainment. I think a lot of people forget this is entertainment. They are on television. Heck, what I'm doing right now, I am trying my best each and every day at 1 o'clock to entertain you. And that is how Charles Barkley entertains his base. You know, he's authentic Charles Barkley. He is not going to bite his tongue. Now, when it comes to Draymond Green, you know, it's funny because right now in studio, we have one of our production assistants, John Simon. And I was chatting with Tamar Davis as well as John Simon about this like minutes before we got on the air. And we were just kind of discussing what happened on the telecast last night and you know, giving our thoughts on whether or not Charles Barkley was fair or foul with what he said on the air. And again, I had no problem with it. But, you know, we were also having this conversation about Draymond Green. I mean, Draymond Green is a throwback NBA player. He is a 90s. He, in many ways, he reminds me of a 90s NBA player because he's a guy who is just gritty. He's going to talk trash to you. He's going to be physical on the basketball court. He is an emotional leader. And he uses his tongue to lead, you know. And there were so many characters like that back in the day, back in the 90s era, especially of the NBA. And you can definitely go into the 80s as well. I mean, you guys have probably seen the 30 for 30 documentary done on the Boston Celtics and the LA Lakers rivalry, right? I mean, Magic Johnson used to talk so much crap, it was ridiculous. Larry Bird is notoriously known for being the, if not one of, the top two, I should say, trash talkers in NBA history. I mean, Michael Jordan used to talk so much crap during NBA games. And that's how Draymond Green is. And he's kind of a throwback NBA player. But you know what, John, you made an interesting point when we were chatting before the show. Like, you know, some of these 90s NBA players, they kind of irk you a bit because at the same time, you know, they want to see the game where it was in the 90s, right? Physical and guys talking trash. They want to see more Draymond Greens in the NBA, but then they get ticked off, and that line is kind of blurred in your view when it comes to some of these takes that you hear from these guys because of what, example, C, Charles Barkley in his comments last night.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's I brought it up to you, like you said before the show, Al, we were talking about it, and it's, you know, it's not just this one thing between Barkley and Draymond Green that sparked this, you know, feeling for me, but it's something I've had for a while. It goes back to, you know, with Kevin Durant, older players criticized him for leaving Oklahoma City and going to Golden State. Mm-hmm. They criticized Draymond Green, you know, they criticized LeBron, they criticized Russell Westbrook. You know, some of them probably don't even like the fact that Steph Curry is popular because he shoots a lot of threes. Some of them are probably, back in my day, he wouldn't have been that great of a player. He would have just been everybody else. But yeah, like you said, Al, the fact of the matter is these older players, it's funny because a few weeks ago when Greg Popovich's wife passed away, I talked about how the NBA sort of has this camaraderie that no other league has, where there's this level of respect and all these players, you know, it does seem like they are friends off the court for the most part. And I just think that there is a lot, it's a gentleman's league really, but mm-hmm. I do see a lot of times where there are former players that seem to criticize the current players a little bit more now. And I think some of it might be that they're bitter. Some of them just may not want to know that there's guys that are better than they are playing now. And I think that that could be, you know, Barkley's case with Durant, not so much with Draymond. You compared them, you know, they are much more closer as far as skill and talent. But overall, like I said, I just think that this whole thing with Barkley and Draymond just stems from the older players having something against the current guys now.
Yeah, I think there may be a little of that as well, I should say, John. And also, you know what? I think that, you know, maybe for the first time for a lot of these guys who played back in the day and have these TV gigs and are paid to sit up and break down and analyze games like a Charles Barkley, who's been doing it for a long time since he hung up the sneakers, right? I think that a lot of them don't realize that I'm staring in a mirror here. You know, that used to be me. Was I really that bad? I think that maybe sometimes Charles is sitting there saying, man, I don't think it hit him last night for sure, because he said, look, I just want to punch Draymond Green in the face. But I think at times you see these players, you know, look at some of the current superstars of today and say, man, that was me, you know. And I think that, and I hope that Charles has, you know, now, you know, having some time to kind of reflect on what he said. I hope that now, and maybe we'll hear it on the telecast tonight, you know, during the NBA on TNT's ongoing coverage of the NBA playoffs. Maybe he'll come out and say, yeah, that used to be me. You know, Draymond Green used to be, that's how I was when I played. I was chippy. I would talk trash. Shaq was the same way. Kenny, I'm not sure, maybe not so much with Kenny, but those guys have to, you know, look back and say, yeah, I used to be like that too, and have to kind of, you know, sympathize with these guys. But I love Draymond coming right back at him too. You know, and I want to make this point known as well. We were talking with Tamar about this. You know, Draymond is one of those guys that if he's on your team, you love him.
Right.
And here in East Lansing, we, of course, love Draymond Green because he was a star. He was a stud under Tom Izzo.
And he brought Michigan State back on the map as far as putting pro players into the NBA. I mean, who was the big NBA name out of Michigan State before Draymond?
Maybe Zemo.
Zach Randolph?
Yeah, Zach Randolph.
That's pretty much it. So.
Yeah, and when you saw Draymond really, you know, have that kind of success, and nobody thought that he would become the player that he is and win rings with the Golden State Warriors like he has. But it's simply amazing. But we love Draymond because he's an MSU alum. He's given back to this school. I went to school with Draymond Green. Again, he's a Spartan. We love him because we have a personal connection with him. We have that personal tie with him. But gosh darn it, if you do not know anything about Draymond Green or did not root for Michigan State or are not a Michigan State fan or a Golden State Warriors fan, I can see how you can look at Draymond Green and be like, man, that dude is just annoying. Draymond Green is just annoying because he's always talking, and then you see from time to time, if he has a big play, like a big block or a big bucket, he'll do what he did last night going into halftime, get in your face. ESPN actually had to, when they played that clip back, they had to blur the mouth of Draymond Green after that bucket going into halftime because
he's too good at lip reading.
Exactly, because it was so, I don't know what he said. I don't know, but you could probably read his lips and tell, right, what he said. But it was so bad what he said. Apparently, they had to blur his mouth. I mean, he's a guy that is going to annoy the heck out of you on the basketball court. And there's a method to his madness. That is what makes Draymond Green Draymond Green.
Right.
And that is translated to success for the Golden State Warriors.
Right. It's all part of his game. I mean, I compare him to, well, you compared him perfectly to Barkley earlier, but the other guy that I compare him to from the 90s is Rodman.
Yeah,
you know, I think he's my generation's Dennis Rodman.
Right, like, he definitely is. Yeah. And Rodman was a little more eclectic, to say the least, right, with the hair color. And
Draymond's got some of his career ahead of him. We could see a different phase come in.
Right.
You know, it is 2018. Draymond could bring in a whole other character that we haven't seen yet.
I hope not, Draymond. Please do not dye your hair. I don't want to see you, you know, whatever suits you. If you're wearing a wedding dress, if that floats your boat,
man. Rodman married himself one time. We could see that. We could see that.
Right, definitely. All right, what do you think about this old Draymond Green and Charles Barkley feud? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We do have a caller on line one. Before I get to that caller, I haven't given you a chance to weigh in. Ian Hawley, engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, the man behind the glass. What do you make of this whole thing?
My buddy and I were sitting watching the game last night, and at one point, we saw some highlights from earlier in the game that they were showing of Draymond getting in Rondo's face and, you know, throwing people frosty looks when he dunks on them and stuff like that. And we both came to the conclusion that if he hadn't gone to Michigan State, we would absolutely hate the guy. I don't really like the guy much as it is right now. The only love I have for him is that he played so well at Michigan State. So, honestly, but at the same time, there's that throwback to the old NBA mentality of, you know, people say, oh, we wish the game was like it was back in the 80s and 90s. But then when stuff like this happens and there's controversy,
right.
You know, Green has his ups and downs. I don't entirely hate the guy. Like I say, I think he's a great basketball player. I just wish he would stop some of the on-court antics.
It gets a bit too much, because even me, I sit there watching Draymond sometimes and I say, come on, dude.
It's one thing to trash talk, but it's another thing to go at people physically, you know?
Right, exactly. Can you turn your chill up, I should say, because sometimes I'm watching Draymond, I'm like, dude, that's unnecessary.
Yeah,
just relax.
It's way too over the top.
Exactly, but that emotion is what makes Draymond Green. Without that, you take away that emotion for Draymond Green, it's like, you know, it's like taking away, you know, a superpower of a superhero. What he does, that's what makes him. Line one, Dave is on line one and wants to chime in. Dave, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports.
Hello. One, I think Charles Barkley is just sort of angry he didn't have the extra 3 inches that Draymond had. Because he played essentially the same game Draymond does, several inches shorter, and wasn't able to block as much.
But let's be real. Let's keep it all the way real here, Dave. We all know that overall, as an overall player, Charles Barkley was the far superior player. I mean, the dude was voted. You can have debates. People have debates to this day on the greatest power forward of all, with the greatest small forward of all time, and Charles Barkley is at the top of that list.
He was a great player. He just did not do some of the things that Draymond does.
Right.
Part of that is because of the game.
Right.
But I also say that Draymond is the guy that if he's not playing for Golden State, you're not a Golden State fan, or you're not an MSU fan, you probably hate him.
Exactly. Okay?
People hated Bill Laimbeer.
Right.
Unless you were a Notre Dame basketball fan and you were a Pistons fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Draymond's the guy, and every team wishes they had a Draymond who is willing to go and go nose to nose. And I've watched enough NBA basketball and have been fortunate enough to have good seats. Mm-hmm. Had enough games, including a couple at Golden State, that I'll tell you what, you guys would be shocked and amazed at the chatter going back and forth to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good place. It's not a good place for young children, I will tell you.
Right.
That they're going back and forth. Now, did Draymond start it, or was he just given back? I've seen Rajon Rondo when he was playing with Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that guy had it. It was like you plugged in the 8-track, and he just was chattering the whole stinking game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if anybody who thinks, well, Draymond just starts this on his own, nah, there's some back and forth going all the time, and maybe he gets the last word, maybe he doesn't. But he's not, you know, he's never going to be a shrinking violet. He wasn't one up when he was playing in high school.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't at Michigan State. And right now he's getting what? Millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars a year to play the way he's doing it at Golden State. I mean, how many other small forwards are bringing the ball down on offense all the time?
He's a dynamic player. He's different for sure. Good takes, Dave. Appreciate that. And you know, we've sparked up a big debate on our Facebook page right now as well, Ian and John, at Facebook. Again, if you want to weigh in, and if you're a bit shy and don't want to talk on the air, you can weigh in via Facebook Live at facebook.com/WKAR News. Ben says, sorry, Ian, I have to disagree with you. Draymond is a beast, and he can back up his trash talk, and he gets under your skin. He was the same way at Michigan State. I loved it. And then Ben goes on to say, Charles Barkley is a punk. That's what Ben says. And then Alex counters with, bro, I'm done. I guess Alex and Ben have been going back on the, you know, back and forth in the comment section. And Alex says, bro, I'm done. You have your opinion. I have mine. You have never met Charles Barkley. You know a character. He may have mistyped that last sentence, but they're going back and forth on Facebook right now. Do you want to address Ben's comments to you, Ian?
Yeah, well, just punch me in the face when you see me, Ben. How about that?
I love that. That's great. That's good stuff. Again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR. Let's hit our first break. That was a great segment, by the way. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Taya Reimer, all the way from the West Coast. She is a former forward for the Michigan State women's basketball team who has signed with the WNBA's LA Sparks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A, discussing the whole Charles Barkley and Draymond Green beef. And, of course, Charles, he made some comments. If you have not heard, Charles Barkley made a comment heading into halftime of the Golden State and the New Orleans game last night that he just wants to punch Draymond Green right in the face. Green was asked about it in the post-game presser, and he was very animated and said, look, man, you can stand behind the microphone on the TV screen. Fact of the matter is, if you feel strongly about something, you know, he's seen me a million times, then punch me in my face when you see me, homie. Yeah, he didn't say homie. I just threw that in there. but so they went back and forth last night, and it sparked up this huge debate. It was Charles, you know, fair or foul in saying that last night. I had no problem with it. It's Charles Barkley. He's not a member of the media. He is an entertainer. That's what he does every night when NBA on TNT comes on. I mean, I had no problem with it at all. And it's Charles Barkley. What do you expect? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's current sports. Her name is Taya Reimer, a familiar name to all of the current sports listeners and fans out there, seeing as though Taya was a former production assistant with us. And most of you will know her better, though, from her time as a Michigan State women's basketball forward. And she has now signed a free agent contract with the WNBA's Los Angeles Sparks. And she will join actually Ariel Powers as two former Spartans on active WNBA rosters. Powers begins actually her third season with the Dallas Wings. And also, Reimer will be the fourth player on the Sparks roster from a Big Ten team. Very cool stuff. I know she's so excited, and I'm probably throwing off her training schedule right now, especially with this whole time difference, because she's on the West Coast. That's a three-hour time difference. It's 1:38 here. It's 10:38 there. Taya, thank you so much for wiping the crust out your eyes and joining us here this morning.
Of course. Of course. No problem. I know the time change has definitely been something to get used to, but...
Right. Isn't it crazy? Because, you know, I got a lot of friends, you know, that live in the L.A. area, and it's so crazy when they hit me up, because it'll be like midnight. And I'm like, whoa, dude, it's midnight. What are you doing? And they're like, no, it's a three-hour time difference. So the party's just now starting here, baby. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. It's L.A. time. So, but, Taya, isn't that crazy? It's so crazy. But Taya, for you, signing this contract with the L.A. Sparks, how did this whole thing come about for you?
Honestly, it was really crazy how it happened. It was super last minute, because when the actual draft happened, I didn't get drafted, obviously. And then usually people get invited to training camps, through free agency, like either that night right after the draft or within the next few days. And I hadn't heard anything from any teams. So I was pretty much just going back and forth between state and home, which is Indianapolis for me, mm-hmm. you know, finishing up classes and training. And I was pretty much just planning to go overseas in the fall, play, and hopefully then next year come back and be able to make a training camp roster and then try to fight for a spot on a final roster. But it was actually a week from today. So last Wednesday, I had gotten a call around 5 p.m. that the Sparks wanted me to come to training camp. And then they actually flew me out the next day at 7 a.m. It was like super, super last minute. But wow. I mean, it was amazing because, you know, obviously I didn't feel like my dream was dead, but it was definitely postponed and, you know, not the way that I wanted it to go, not the way that I expected it to go. So to get that call, it was, I mean, I was super emotional about it, really excited and a little rushed. I had to pack up all my stuff really quickly and right. head out here. But it was, I mean, amazing, a dream come true. And it's been amazing being out here.
So before we talk about, you know, how you are adjusting to the L.A. lifestyle and your expectations as you now sign with the L.A. Sparks, which is one of the most storied franchises in all of the WNBA, I want to just kind of go back mm-hmm. to when you ended your Michigan State, you know, college basketball career, when you guys got eliminated in the WNIT. And then what happened from there? You know, when it comes to chasing this dream of playing professional basketball, which teams did you work out for? And when you were talking to connections in the WNBA realm, what were they telling you about your game and the likelihood of you possibly being drafted or not?
Right. Well, actually, for women, it's a little different because usually on the men's side, you always hear about guys being able to work out for teams. Mm-hmm. But on the women's side, you don't do that. There's the only real option that you have is during Final Four weekend. So in Columbus, they had a few different combines, which honestly, it was basically just like, I mean, you can sign up for it and they put you on a team and you just like play a bunch of pickups. And like overseas coaches and WNBA coaches, they can choose to come to that and watch you play. So it's not really like a team can invite you to come work out for them and they can see you before the draft. So in that way, it's definitely a disadvantage, I would say, on the women's side. So I ended up not doing the combine, which, I think that is what it is. It could have been, that maybe could have changed things for me and maybe couldn't have, so that was really it. But I had signed with my agent, I think it was a few days after we had lost in the WNIT. He was, just working for me, just talking to some coaches, and he was down at the Final Four because most WNBA coaches are at least at the Women's Final Four. So he was just there talking to some people, and honestly, it was a little hit or miss just because, I think that I didn't have the best season my senior campaign. And, obviously us as a team, we were up and down, and all of the injuries that we had definitely hurt us in the long run. So it was definitely going to be questionable. The fact that I'm here right now, it's really great just because I wasn't sure. Like I said before, I wasn't sure if I was going to have to postpone this dream a little bit and go overseas and do well and play and put up numbers there and then be able to come back. So.
So how did you even end up on the Sparks radar, Taya?
I think that all of the WNBA teams do a really good job of keeping up with people throughout their college career. And I think that, through the start of my college career and, being on, a really big stage from the beginning, my freshman and sophomore year playing in, national championship games, I think that that was something that definitely helped, being on their radar. And I think, my agent definitely helped me. One person that really helped me a lot was Coach Mox, my position coach at State. Mm-hmm. She had a really good relationship with, a few people within the organization, the LA organization, and she kind of helped me out and, told them that she thought that they needed to have me at camp. So that was really amazing. And shout out to her because she just had her baby and she was helping me out while she was literally about to have her kid. So I was like, you're amazing. But
wow. Coach Mox is the best. Isn't she the best? Love Coach Mox.
Yes, she is. She is.
For you, Taya, everybody's dream, I feel like everybody's dream, when you play Division I athletics, especially basketball at a school like Michigan State University, your dream is to, play professionally, WNBA, right. NBA when it comes to Tom Izzo's troops. For you, to accomplish a dream like this, this has to be a pretty big pinch-me moment for you. Has it really set in yet?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it has. I'm trying not to let it, be something so intense where it, like, takes me out of my game and like knocks my focus. But mm-hmm. I mean, it's so amazing. And I think, like you mentioned earlier, especially to be here with this program, you know, this organization has so much success, you know, over all of, I mean, since the WNBA started, and especially recently, you know, they've been fighting for championships. And, you know, you look at players like Candace Parker, and you look at Nneka Ogwumike, and they just added Kapu Kondexter to their roster. And, I mean, she's a legend in the WNBA. So, I mean, for me to, like, be in the huddle standing next to Kapi and standing next to Candace, you know, two players that when I was younger, like, I would watch them in the league and just like want to be in their spot and want to do the things that they were doing. And you know, now to be able to actually learn from them and talk to them and see the things that they do, the way that they take care of their bodies, you know, their diets, all the things that they do on and off the court, to be great pros, I mean, it's just, it's so amazing. It almost has been like every once in a while I have to be like, wait, am I really here right now? So, I mean, it's just crazy. But, I mean, this is what I've always wanted to do since I started playing basketball. I mean, this was always my ultimate goal. So, I mean, it's definitely, I think it's set in, but it's been a motivator to just, you know, being here. Now I definitely want to take it to the next level.
So. Definitely. And you know, you talk about the Sparks. I mean, they're three-time WNBA champs. They won back-to-back titles in 01 and 02, added their third title in 2016. You mentioned Kapi and Candace and being in the huddle with them. What's the biggest for you, Taya? What's the biggest thing that you've noticed when it comes to just overall feel of play? In comparison to the college game and the WNBA game, are there moments where you're like, oh my gosh, everybody's good out here?
No, I mean, exactly. I think that's it. And I mean, I would say just like attention to detail is so huge at this level because, I mean, everybody is so good. I mean, everybody that's been in camp is so good. And then when you look at the teams that, you know, all the people on other rosters and the teams that they would play. I mean, them playing Minnesota in the finals every year. I mean, you look at Maya Moore and Sylvia Fowles and Simone Augustus. I mean, those players are great players. And, you know, it's attention to the floor, you know, executing on offense and knowing the scouting report on defense, knowing every single thing that you're supposed to do at every minute. So it's not really, there's just not really room for error. And I think that attention to detail and just the sense of urgency overall, you know, within our practices, within workouts, you know, it's really different. It's just heightened. So I think that's the biggest thing that I've realized.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we have been chatting with Taya Reimer, former Michigan State women's basketball forward, who has just signed a free agent contract with the WNBA's LA Sparks. Two more questions for you, Taya, before we get you out of here and let you get back to your workout. We do have a question coming from one of our production assistants, John Simon. He's got a question for you, John.
Yeah, so first off, Taya, former classmate of yours, John Simon. First off, just wanted to congratulate you on the signing in your future career.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And of course, you just talked about it. The dream is obviously getting to the WNBA, playing for the Sparks. But, you know, you did go to Michigan State and you were a journalism student here. And, you know, you have a goal at some point to get in the booth as well, whether it be a basketball analyst or a broadcaster, or maybe even doing play by play for a game. But you did that stuff here at Michigan State. And just recently, Chinny Ogwumike of the Connecticut Sun just announced that she will be a full-time basketball analyst for ESPN while she's still playing. So for you, someone who wants to also go into that career of sports broadcasting, does that excite you, you know, that you can do that in the future after your basketball career, or even as soon as doing it while you're still playing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were actually, me and a few of my teammates, we're just talking about that last night, how cool that was. It's really awesome. And I think that, you know, Chinny has done such a great job with that. And I'm really happy for her that she's like in a full-time position. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that I want to do. And, you know, besides basketball, that's something that I really love. I mean, I definitely want to stay around the game, as long as I can, you know, even once I'm done actually playing. So, I mean, yeah, like for her to do that, and Kara Lawson did that, and she was one that like was a really big inspiration for me getting into broadcasting. And just the fact that I think on both sides that, you know, women have, like women like Chinee, like have so much drive and so much passion to like do that, to do both things, because both things are really time consuming. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people in the broadcasting business, and especially, you know, if you're doing college games, if you're doing WNBA games, NBA games, you know, you're traveling a lot, you're doing a lot. There's so much research that goes into everything. So, you know, for people like that to be able to do both and to play, you know, to do the broadcasting and to play at such a high level, I mean, that's so amazing. And it's really inspiring for me. And, you know, the fact that, you know, ESPN and other places are really looking to have that more, I think that that's really amazing. So, yeah, I mean, we were just talking about that, and I was really excited about that because I was like, hopefully I can do the same thing. So,
great question, John. You know, what's also amazing about, you know, that story with Ogumike is that she'll also be not just breaking down WNBA games. She's going to be contributing to the NBA coverage as well with right. ESPN, which is amazing.
And what's impressive is Taya said, you know, she's going to be doing with all this time that this consumed. Right. She was preparing for this while rehabbing a second major knee injury.
Amazing.
And
absolutely
she's
going to amazing.
Play again. Incredible. It's a great story.
Taya, for you, again, we love your story, and you're out there making dreams come true out there in L.A. now. Can you just let our listeners know how close you guys are to the start of the season? Where you're at schedule-wise when it comes to your progress as a free agent signee with the Sparks?
Well, we actually leave Sunday for the first preseason game. Mm-hmm. So we leave Sunday, and then the game is on Monday. We play at Connecticut, and then we will travel to New York, play at New York, and then we will come back to L.A., and on the 12th, I believe, we will play the Chinese national team at Staples. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the near future, and then, you know, keep practicing and keep, you know, I think there are a few more preseason games after that, and I think around, like, end of May would be, you know, when I would know if I make the final roster, so keeping my fingers crossed for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep, you know, working hard every day and seeing how that goes. It's different because there are some girls, you know, some veteran players that are still playing overseas. So it's hard to, you know, kind of navigate that and to tell until all of those girls get back. So right now, I believe there are 15 girls in camp right now. Mm-hmm. And the final roster would be 12. So, you know, once everybody from overseas comes back and it's, you know, kind of everybody here, then I think that's when they start to, you know, make some cuts and figure out who's going to stay for the rest of the season and whatnot. So that's kind of what the deal is for me. But I am just enjoying being here and enjoying learning and playing with all of these girls. And, you know, even getting to be around, you know, some college players that, you know, I played against and now we're teammates. So it's been really fun. Doing that too.
Incredible. Well, I tell you what, on behalf of us all here at WKAR's Current Sports, Taya, we are rooting for you. We'll be following you throughout the preseason, and hopefully you can land one of those roster spots. Much love to you, Taya. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Al. Thank you.
All right. Well, we have about 5 minutes left here in the hour. Let's just skip the second break. And you know, it's really cool, John. When you hear of a story like this, I mean, just imagine, because I remember talking with Taya after the season. She's like, yeah, you know, if I don't, you know, get drafted or sign a contract with a WNBA team, I mean, the route that you take is to play overseas. And frankly, I mean, what you see with a lot of players in the WNBA, what they do is because the salaries aren't great, it's the WNBA still trying to, you know, move up the totem pole when it comes to, you know, putting that sport on the forefront, putting right. that league on the forefront, right? So what a lot of them do, you know, to level out the cost, they just play year round, you know, where if they're, you know, after WNBA season is done, they'll go overseas and play overseas and still get paid as a professional player overseas. A lot of them do that. Now, the big names, you know, who are very, you know, who are highly marketable, I guess you can say, you know, signing with big companies like Nike and Gatorade, like a, I don't know if a Skylar Diggins is doing that. You know what I mean?
Right. Like the Candace Parkers, the Maya Moores,
exactly.
the Del Dons. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's, it's such a grind, man. And, you know, it's just such a cool story though, because Taya, you know, you heard her just on our airwaves. I mean, she didn't, you know, she didn't get drafted. Didn't think that she was going to sign a free agent contract anywhere in the WNBA. Then all of a sudden, she's about to sign overseas and gets a call from the Sparks. How cool is that?
And plus, if you're getting a call from any WNBA city, it's pretty cool that you get to go out to Los Angeles and live yeah. out there for a few months while you're getting your career started.
Gotta love that. very cool story. And you know what? It was so cool that we have lost track of time and we cannot, for a second day in a row, this always happens to me. Every time. Darius Bazley. The Darius Bazley story is one that I've been meaning to get to now for the past 2 days. But basically, Darius Bazley, one of the top recruits in the world of high school basketball. He initially had committed to Syracuse to play with Jim Boeheim there. I know Michigan State fans are probably sitting there saying, oh, Syracuse. I don't even want to hear that name anymore. But he initially committed to Syracuse. And all of a sudden, you know, his agent told him of a different route he could possibly try if he wanted to make that dream of going to the NBA a reality. And that route is to possibly go to the G League and then go from the NBA's G League straight to the league. So it's one that if Darius is successful, we may see a trickle down effect from this story and possibly big high school recruits basically saying, you know what, the NBA is my goal. I'm going to skip the college experience. I'm going to get paid. You know, again, it's not a lot, $26K, you know, to play in the G League. But again, it's more than what they're getting paid as a high school player, right? And much more than they'll be getting paid in college because they're not getting paid at all in both of those realms. But if he is successful, if Darius Bazley or Bazley is successful, this could cause an interesting dilemma for college basketball. So we'll I promise you we'll get to that story tomorrow. We'll also have Tony Towns from LA as well. We've got two LA guests coming on this week. Tony Towns, who's in the entertainment industry, he'll join me from LA to talk some sports as well as what he does out there. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Until then, be easy, people.